Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Today, this time, we're going to be learning Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Gimel. We are going to start four lines into the page on Daf Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph at Tanur Rabbanan. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha. Allah Shalom, we thank him for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. I also want to take the opportunity to thank everybody on the Zoom for joining me throughout this past 4 weeks here in Camp Keli, so that I've been able to continue giving the Daf Yomi shir. Bez Hashem, the next time after this shir, we'll be back at home at BKNW on Tuesday morning. So back to the regular time, regular Zoom, regular everything, but I so appreciate people coming on the Zoom so that I'm able to continue learning the Daf and being able to give the Daf shir and to be able to learn together with each of you. Today what we're going to discuss is doing business with Jews and non-Jews on the way to and from the Yerid, meaning what sort of assumptions you have to make in terms of helping out with Avodah Zarah if you do business with someone on their way to the Yerid, which was a place where there was a presumption of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is going to discuss a lot about the kashrus of flasks and jugs belonging to Ovdei Kochavim. To what extent do we assume that there is a tam of Yayin in it? How do we rid it of the tam Yayin? We're going to discuss a method of Hechsher Kelim called Milu, the Iroi, which does not involve any heat. The Gemara is going to raise a number of questions about Hechsher Kelim when it comes to jugs of Ovdei Kochavim. The Gemara is going to come across one case where a person seemed to have violated Halacha because the Rabbanan failed to make a Gezerah about something. And the question is, should they react by now making a Gezerah because we see that someone violated that Halacha, or do we say that no, it is a one-time thing and therefore nothing to be concerned about? So let's begin at Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, again, four lines into the page, on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Ovid Chavim HaHolich LeYerid. If you have an Ovid Chavim that's on his way to the Yerid, the place, the marketplace of Avodah Zarah, where the Ovdei Kochavim used to make a whole thing on their festival, a day of buying and selling, to sell all sorts of the wares that they require for their festivals, Bein Bahalicha, Bein Bechazara Mutter. Whether it's on the way to the Yerid or on the way from the Yerid, you're allowed to do business with the Ovid Kochavim. And it is not the same of him going directly to the church, so to speak, where you're not allowed to give him you're not allowed to do business with him on his way there, because over here, he's not going to the Yerid to do Avodah Zarah, he's going to the Yerid to do business. It just happens to be they do the Yerid around the time of the Avodah Zarah, so that everyone can get all the things that they need for their festivals. Yisrael HaHolich LeYerid, if a Jew is going to the Yerid to participate in their market day, Bahalicha Mutter, on his way to the Yerid, you're allowed to do business with him. But Bechazara Aser, on his way back from the Yerid, you're not allowed to do Schorah with him. So Maishna Yisrael de Bechazara Aser, why is it that when it comes to Yisrael, the halacha is that on his way back, you're not allowed to do business with him, even though on his way there, you are allowed to do business with him? The reason that it's Aser on his way back is we assume that he sold certain things that relate to Avodah Zarah, whatever getchkas he sold that relate to Avodah Zarah, and therefore the money that he got as payment for those getchkas he has with him, and therefore therefore we assume that you're not allowed to do business with him because the money he's using is tainted money. The pasuk says ve'isa cherem kamahu, and we darshan in the Gemara later on in this Masechta that kol sha'ata mahayim mimenu hareyu kamahu, that any money that comes from doing business with Avodah Zarah becomes like the Avodah Zarah. So you know, we don't want to get involved in such things. But in fact, the Gemara, but if that's the case, Ovid Kochavim Nami Neima Avodos Kochavim Zabin, Tamei Avodos Kochavim Ikabadei. Why don't we assume the same thing about an Ovid Kochavim, that he had sold various items that relate to Avodah Zarah, and therefore the money he has is also tainted money? Ella, it must be that the reason you're allowed to do business with the Ovid Kochavim who's returning from the Yerid is because Ovid Kochavim Aminan Glima Zabin. We assume that Ovid Kochavim was doing schora, but not with Avodah Zarah related stuff. He was selling clothing, he was selling shmatas, chamra zabin, or he was selling, whether it be wine or a chamor, whatever it might be. It's whatever he has is money of heter. We don't assume that he has money of iser. The Rif and the Rabbi explain that the reason that we assume that glima zabin, chamra zabin, is not that assumption that we make, lekula, is not paskin lahalacha, because we're going to see a sugya much later on in the Masechta of Samach Dalid that the mei avodah zara biyado b'kuchavim is mutter, even if it's very clear that the mei slamim biyado, that he's not, it's not the mei chamra, it's not the mei glima, that it's the mei slamim, and still it's going to be mutter. So this ukimta that we're making right now, says the Rif and the Raivin, becomes completely unnecessary. Now Tosas Harash quotes the name Rabbeinu Tam that no, it's not a stira between the two sugyas at all. That the sugya later on is going to talk about a guy that sold an avodah zara in order to pay his chov to Yisrael. So that's where we remake it, because by a guy we don't say kol shatanan imenu areu kamahu. But the sugya that we're dealing with is that the money is still in the non-Jew's hand, and he didn't sell it in order to pay his chov. So we have to be choshish that maybe he sold it in order to buy other avodah zara. Ooh, so that money is designated for purchasing avodah zara, or at least we have to be choshish as such that it's designated for purchasing other avodah zara, and that's why we're more machmir in our sugya. The Sefer HaShlama suggests that that which we are matir later on, Dmei Avodah Zarah, that's in the hands of a guy, is only b'diavad. But l'chadchila, you're not allowed to do business with him because we are choshesh, in fact, that it's Dmei Avodah Zarah b'yado. So be that as it may, the Gemara over here is kind of makel with the Ovid Chavim, that we assume the money that he has is not tainted money, that it's glima zabin, that it's chamra zabin. So frek the Gemara, well, Yisrael nami emor glima zabin, chamra zabin. Why don't we say about the Yisrael as well, that who's returning from the Yerid, then maybe what he sold is just some clothing, some chamorim or whatever else that he might have been selling. Says Gemara, no, because he is the Havali. If he had a glima or a chamor to sell, hacha have a mazmulay, he would have sold it over here. He would not have, gone out publicly to do schora, to go to the festival of an avodah zara. The fact that he went there was because that's the only way he can make his business, is by actually dealing in avodah zara. If he was dealing in the shmata business, he would not have risked having gone to the yirid of avodah zara. So the fact that the Yisrael is coming back from the yirid, it stinks to high heaven that the Yisrael was there. That must be that he had done something terrible, that he was dealing with avodah zara. He'd rather, even if the Tos HaRosh points out, even if when he's selling chamra, when he's selling glimas, even if he would have gotten he would not have been able to charge as much among Yisraelim as he does among Avdei Kochavim, still he would rather sell it among Yisraelim. So it sounds like even though glima zavin chamra zavin, it's and you could get more money there by the Avdei Kochavim, he wouldn't do it. However, the Ritva explains a little differently, that glima v'chamra and other things are sold probably for cheaper at the Yerid, and it's only in Yanni Avodah Zarah that they would sell for a lot of money. So by a guy, we assume he was selling other things, and even though the profit is not so great, but he doesn't care so much about the profit, he's there for the festival, as long as it looks like he's doing something for the Shevach of the Avodah Zarah. But for Yisrael, if he doesn't sell Avodah Zarah, what's the profit? If there's not a great profit for him, he's only selling cheaper things. He's not selling Avodah Zarah, he's selling things that he cannot sell at a high markup. We wouldn't bother going there in the first place. So it must be, bottom line is, whichever way you interpret it, the Gemara is saying that when it comes to Yisrael, there's much more reason to assume that if he's returning from the Yerid, he probably was involved in selling Avodah Zarah related items. So then the Mishnah said, Va'bayin, and those who return from a place of avodah zara, mutarin, you're allowed to do business with them. That's only you're allowed to do business with them if they're not all traveling in groups connected to one another. But when they come back in a group, asurin, then you're not allowed to do business with them, because we have to assume that it seems that they plan that each one is still connected to the avodah zara, and they plan on going back to the place of avodah zara and to thank the avodah zara for the great business deal that they were able to make with you. So we don't want that to happen, and therefore if the kshum zebzeh, it's asur to be lasis imahem. So now the Mishnah had said back on Chavtes and Beis, no dos hovdicham v'kan kanayim, and this discussion is going to take up the rest of the daf, that if you have jugs and flasks of hovdichavim, and a Jew puts his wine in them, they're aser, and it's aser bana, according to our mayor, and the Chacham say, no, not aser bana, aser bana, aser bana. So the Gemara explains that there are some nodos that are aser and some that are mutter. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Nodos, if you have a kale, nodos are a flask of wine that's made out of leather. The actual container is made out of leather. So nodos of the chavim, if you have a nodos of the chavim, gerudim, if they were not lined with some sort of pitch or tar to make it sort of waterproof, chadashim, and they're brand new, they haven't been used so much, so mutarin, then they're mutar. If a Jew puts wine in it, the Jew's wine does not become asur b'ana, because even if the Ovid Chavim had put wine in it for some short amount of time, we don't assume that the wine would have become absorbed in the or would not have become absorbed in the leather. There is a machlokas rishonim. Do you need to at least rinse it out, and scrub it a little bit? The Ritva holds that you need to scrub it a little bit before you put your own wine in it. Whereas the Rambam machlokas asuras parikidal v'alach yizayin says no, even without scrubbing it out, you're allowed to use it. Yishanim, if it was already used for a while by Ovdei Chavim, Mizupafin, or Ovdei Chavim had lined it with pitch or something to make it more waterproof, even though they didn't use it very much, Asurin, then it's going to be Asur. If a Jew puts his wine in it, it's going to become Asur Bana. Because if it's old and the non-Jew put a wine in there for a very long time, we assume that the non-Jew's wine has become absorbed in the leather. And if he lined it with pitch, even if the Ovdei Chavim's wine was only there for a short amount of time, we assume it becomes absorbed in the leather. So Ovdei Chavim ribvan the ibdon v'nasal tochan yayin v'yisrael lo min al gabo v'inu choshesh. But if the non-Jew puts the pitch or the whatever it is to seal it to make it more waterproof, and he puts wine in it because that's the way they would do it. As they were putting the zephas in, they would put wine into the flask in order to take away a little bit of the bitterness of the pitch or the tar that they were using, and the Yisrael is standing there, then you don't have to be choshesh for an Isser Hana'ah. So, frankly, why not? If the non-Jew is the one that's putting the wine in there, well, why does it help to have Yisrael Lomir Al-Gab? I mean, he's literally being Menaseh Chiyayin, so well, who cares who's watching him being Menaseh Chiyayin? It's going to be Asir. So, Rapapa Hachikam. No, the way to explain it is as follows. If the Ovid Chavim is the one that's sealing it, he's putting the pitch. V'Yisrael nos in the tochan yayin, and Yisrael puts wine into it. So the Yisrael is the one that's putting wine in. V'Yisrael acher omir al gabav, and another Yisrael is watching. Ain't no choshish. You don't have to worry about any sort of Isra Na. So says Gemara, well, of course not. Not only of course not, why do I even need another Yisrael Lomid Al Gabav if the Jew is the only one dealing with the wine? So what is there even to be choshish about? What am I concerned about? So says Gemara, Dilma Agav Tirdei Menasech V'Lavadayte. Maybe because the Jew is so busy putting the wine in, the Ovid Chavim might also put a little bit of wine in, and he'll be Menasech that wine, and the Yisrael is not going to realize because he's busy doing his job, and that's why you need a mashkiach as well. You need another Yisrael watching to make sure that the Ovid Chavim, as he's putting the lime or whatever it is to seal it, is not also pouring a little bit of wine in. Another explanation of that last line of the Braiser of Zidom, really it could be like we said originally, that the Ovid Chavim is the one that's putting the wine in and the Yisrael is Omir Al Gabav. The reason we rejected that possibility before is because we said, why does it matter if you have Yisrael watching when the Ovid Chavim is pouring wine in? It should be aser. No, here's why. At the very moment that he's putting the wine in, he's also lining it with tar. So that's like putting water into mud or into cement that immediately, as soon as the cement dries, the water disappears immediately. So it's as if it never existed. So here also, the wine that gets mixed in with the zephes, as soon as the zephes dries, as soon as that tar dries, it's as if that wine was never there, and the wine is never going to be niflat, it's never going to be extracted from that zephes. So Rav Papi Shmamina Mid Rav Zvid, we see from Rav Zvid's approach over here, that who said that that Ovid Chavim could put some wine in and it's still not going to aser the kli because the wine becomes absorbed in the zephes, so we see something else, that Hay Ovid Chavim Deshad Chamel the Bei Milchi di Yisrael, that an Ovid Chavim puts wine into a kli full of salt belonging to a Yisrael, shari, that salt is going to be mutter bahana, because the wine is absorbed in the salt and is gone. And any time it disappears, it's going to be mutter. Maskev l'Ravashi, so Ravashi asks, son of Papi, mi dami, how can you extract that din from the din of the zephes, the din of the salt from the din of the zephes? Is putting wine into a kli full of salt really similar to putting wine into the tar that you're using to line your kli? Hasam kazul ibud. When you put the wine into the tar, the wine is halich liibud, that it entirely disappears when the zephes dries up. Hacha lo kazul ibud. But when you put wine into salt, it's not halich liibud. It gives tam into that salt forever, and therefore the Ovid Chavim that puts wine into a kli that's full of salt should not be mutter. That should be aser. That should be, in fact, aser bana. So again, to review, we had said at the end of the Braisa that an Ovid Chavim who's putting zephes in the flask, and a Jew pours wine in, and the non-Jew also pours wine in, and the Jew is watching it, it's not a problem. So we try to understand what exactly is the case. So one interpretation of the case was not that the non-Jew pours wine in, but that the Jew is pouring the wine in. We're just concerned that he's going to be so busy, he's not going to notice that the non-Jew also might sneak in some wine, and that's why we need a mashkiach. Whereas Rav Zvid said, no, it's weird, the non-Jew is putting the wine in. And the reason that it's mutter is because it immediately disappears. Years. Rav Papi wanted to compare that to a case of pouring wine onto salt, and Rav Ashi rejected any such comparison. So the Gemara explains, how can we be machshir a flask that belonged to an Ovid Chavim that actually had wine in it? Is there any way to do hechsher kelim on it? So it says Gemara, Bar Adi Tayaa, a certain Yishmaeli by the name of Bar Adi was. I'm in the middle of a shir. Can you close the door? Can you close the door in the middle of a shir? So Bar Adi Tayaa, a certain Arab merchant by the name of Bar Adi, Anas Ahuziki, he stole certain vessels of made out of leather, made of Yisuk Bar Yosef. From Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef, Ramabu Chamra, he put wine into those vessels, va'adrinu ni'alei, and he put returned those vessels back to Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef. So Asa Shal Be Midrasha, so Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef went to ask in the Beis Medrash, what should he do with those vessels in order to make them mutar ba'ana? After all, they have wine absorbed in them. So Rabbi Yirmi says, Kachor Rabbi Ami, Alach L'maisa, that Rabbi Ami paskin Alach L'maisa, here's what you do, the kasherit. You fill it up with water for 3 days and then you spill out the water. And Rava says you need to spill out the water, meaning every day you need to pour out the water, fill it up with brand new water, and do that for a period of 3 days. And only then does it become Mutar b'hana'ah. Now, l'chora, we're not talking about, in this maisa, it's not talking about that the Ovid Chavim put his own wine into these flasks for a long period of time. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that they become usher and they need mili v'iroi. So asks the Ramban, wait a second, I don't understand. Rashi writes that the nodos that Ovid Chavim just put in wine for a very short amount of time are mutter, but in this story, it seems like it was only for a short amount of time, and it was usher. So the Ramban says that in this Maisa, the nodos had zephes in it, that these flasks had some tar in it, and therefore they became usser, and they require hechsher. The Ritva explains that we're talking about where they put wine in to stay there for a while, and therefore they became usser, even if it only ended up staying there for a short amount of time. When you're machnis l'kiyum, the chacham more goes there up to a large amount of time, that even though in the end it actually only stayed for a short amount of time, we're choshesh atu, a longer amount of time. Now, with these 3 days of milu v'iroi need to be three consecutive days, that the kli should not stay between iroi and milui for 24 hours. That's how the Ritva writes, meaning you can't have the kli empty in between one filling of water and the next for more than 24 hours. The Meiri says, nah, you can do it over as much a long time as you want. You want to fill it up with water this Sunday and then pour out the water, and then next Sunday you'll fill it up with water again, pour it this Sunday, whatever you want, as long as it happens three times. So that's the concept of Milui V'Iroi. Now the Ritva raises a fundamental question. He says, I don't understand. The wine that was in these kelim was cold. So we have a klal that a davar tzonein is never going to be nivla. It's never going to be absorbed in the kli. And a kli that's only used for an isur tzonein, you don't need to do agalan. You don't need to kasher. All you need to do is rinse it out, because just to clean off any mamashos that might be there. So how come you need milu v'iroi three times over here? Why can't you just rinse it out? You know, scrub it with a sponge and clean it, and that'll be the end of it. Everything was cold over here. So the Ritva says, I know what you want to answer. You want to say, well, wine is so pungent and so strong, and chometz vinegar is so pungent and so strong that maybe it will be mavlia even if it's so made. He says, then why does it help to use water, to use cold water? A davar tzonein is not maflit to any isser. We never find such a thing that a cold is going to be maflit in isser. So he answers in the name of the Ra'ah that the isser of klei yayin nesach is not because of actual blios. The kli is not balea at all with the davar tzonein. It's because there's a charifus to it, and the kli is collate its tam. Each kli based on its own character, like a kli cheres is collate and balea more than other kelim. And the fact that iroi works to be machshir all the kelim is only because it's not because they're maflit and they're motzi the iser from the kli. It's just that when you fill it three times and you leave the water in it for 24 hours, so it weakens the walls of the kli, and the water enters into the walls of the kli, and it takes out whatever tam yayin is there until it doesn't have a din of yayin at all. And the chachamim knew that if you do this three times, that will take away the status of yayin from the kli. Okay, so savra mina, so Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef understood from this answer that hani mili didan, that this hechsher of mili v'iroi of mayim for 24 hours, 3 days in a row, only works for our flasks, that, you know, because that was the case. The case was a Jew owned this, and he gave it to an Arab merchant to borrow, and the guy filled it with some wine. But Aval did too. But if it were it actually belonged to him, and he used it initially for Yayin Nesach, lo, then Mili V'iroi is not going to be a valid way of kashering. So Kiyasa Rav, Nam Rav Shimon Lakish, when Rav and Katie said the name Rav Shimon Lakish, Echad Shalom of Echad Shalem. It doesn't matter if it's ours, it doesn't matter if it's theirs. Either way, you're able to kasher with Mili V'iroi. So Rav Acha Breid Rav Kamed Rav Ashi the Meimar, so Rav Acha Breid Rav wanted to say in front of Rav Ashi, Hani Mili, this Hechsher Kelim called Mili V'iroi for 24 hours, 3 days in a row, only works no dose. That's only when it comes to kelim made out of leather, aval kankanin, but kelim made out of cheres, lo, miloi v'iroi, does not work. So amle Rav Ashi, lo shna nodos, lo shna kankanin, that it doesn't matter if it's made out of leather or if it's made out of cheres, either way, the miloi v'iroi is going to work. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Kankanin, if you have kelim made out of cheres, made out of pottery, shalom de kochavim, that belongs to the chavim, chadashim, if Yovik chavim had never used it for wine, grudim, and they are without any pitch or lime in it, so mutarin, you're their mutter. If a Jew puts wine in it, it does not become aser bana. But yeshanim, umizu pafin, or the u means o, right? If it's either old or it's lined with zephes, asurin, it's going to be aser if a Jew puts wine in it. That wine is going to become aser bana. Ovil Chavim nosin l'tochen yayin. If the Ovil Chavim puts wine into the kankanim, Yisrael nosin l'tochen mayim. The Jew puts water in and spills out the water every 24 hours, and he'll put new water, you know, do that for 3 days, and then the kankanim will be mutter. Ovil Chavim nosin l'tochen yayin. If the Ovil Chavim puts wine into these klei cheres, Yisrael nosin l'tochen tzirum murius. The Jew could put fish brine or other fish fat type of things that are very charif, that are very sharp, and that will overpower and overwhelm the tam of the yayin, and then you don't need to be machshir these vessels with mili v'iroi. You don't have to worry about anything else, because the kankanim at that point going forward are going to be mutter. There is a machlokas rishonim, how long do you need in order to be machshir when you're using tzir or morias? Meaning when it comes to water, it's mili v'iroi 24 hours each time. You leave the water in for 24 hours, then you pour it out, and then again 24 hours. What about when you're using tzir or morias? So the Rashba writes, a short amount of time. It doesn't need to be very long at all. It's very powerful. It's very pungent. The Rush writes that it's not mistaber that a short amount of time is going to be enough to rid the kli of all the yayin. Mistama needs to be 24 hours. I mean, you just don't need to do it three times. Just 24 hours and you're done. The Ritva writes in the name of Ram Halevi that it needs to be 3 days straight. And what distinguishes it from water is that with water, you need to change the water every 24 hours. But with the Tzira and the Morius, it's 72 hours straight without ever having to change it. And that's the Kula that we have with the Tzira and the Morius that we don't have with the Mayim. So now the Gemara discusses the end of the Raisa. Tzira and Morius are Makshir Kankanim. So Yibayiluhu, so they raise the following Shaila, this Hekshir of Tzira and Morius in the Kankanim of Avdichavim, L'chadchilo Diyavet. Is it Mutal L'chadchilo to be Makshir Kankanim by putting Tzira and Morius in it? Or L'chadchilo, you need to be Makshir with Mili V'Iroi with water for 24 hours, you know, for 3 days in a row, and only if you already put Tzira Morius in it, it's kasher b'diavad, meaning the whole idea of using Tzira Morius without using water to be makshir the kelim, is that something you can do l'chadchila as a valid form of hechsher kelim? Or no, you're supposed to do milui v'iroi with water, 72 hours, 24 hours each time before switching out the water. It's just that, b'diavad, if you use Tzira Morius, that too is going to work. Now, even what the suffix is, the Rabbi points out, there are two ways of understanding the suffix of the Gemara. One way of understanding is whether a Jew is allowed to put put Tzira Morius in the Chachila, and the Tzad say that it's us, is that the Chum maybe were gozer not to put Tzira in the Chachila because you might come to put wine in. Or do we say, no, or that they weren't gozer, right? That's the shayla. And the tzad that they're not gozer is ve'ino choshish. So we don't have to worry that maybe if I'm putting Tzira Morius in, I may put wine in as well, and wine will just become treif. Or the other way to understand the stuff in the Gemara is, of course Yisrael is allowed to put Tzira Morius in. And we're not gozer that you might put wine in. The suffix is, if you could then put wine in the chachila after you put the Tzira and the Morius in, after you already kashered with Tzira and Morius, is that a l'chachila dika way of kashering that you can now use that kli for yayin? So Tashma says, Gemara, let's bring a raya. The Tanya Rav Zvi Bar Hoshaya, halokeh, kankanim rovi chavim, chadoshim, if you buy brand new kankanim from rovi chavim, nosin l'tochen yayin, and you can put wine into it. Yeshanim, nosin l'tochen tzira morius l'chadchila. And if you put old, and if they're old kankanim, then you put tzira morius in l'chadchila, and then the kankanim are going to be kosher. So we see that this hechsher is l'chadchila, because it says beferish that you can put tzira morius even l'chadchila. So another shayla, by me, Rabbi Yudin Nesiyah Merabi Ami, Rabbi Yudin Nesiyah, the grandson of Rabbi Yudah Anasi, asked Rabbi Ami, Hichzira l'kivshana esh v'nislab numahu, what if you take these kankanim that belong to Ovdei Kochavim, and you put them into the kiln, and they get heated up with the fire, so is that a valid hechsher kelim? So Amalei, tzir soreif orlo kolshke. What do you mean is that valid? If you put fish brine, that's considered to burn it enough. So fire, all the more so, is going to be able to burn it enough. See, in Marnami, we say similarly, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kankan Shalvichon Shatzir and the Kifshon Eish, Kimet Shanosh Zipson, Mehen Mutarin. That you have Kankan of Ovdicham that you put back into the Kifshon Eish, since the Zephyr starts peeling from them, it's going to be Mutter. So you see that putting it into the Kifshon is going to make it okay. Direct fire always kashers. Some Ravashi, Lo Tema Adinasran, Elafilu Rafai Mirfa, Avog Abdelonasar. That you don't even have to say that the pitch or the lime is going to burn off entirely. Even if it just starts becoming weakened by the fire, then you know it's hot enough that it's already been kashered. So says Gemara, okay, so you put it into the kiln, that's going to kasher it. What about the following? Kinsa. What if you put lit pieces of wood, you put a bunch of matches, or you start a little fire inside the kli? So is that enough to kasher? Putting it in the kiln where the whole kli on the outside and the inside is surrounded by fire, yeah, that works. What if you make a fire inside the kli? So pligimer ravach ravina, that's a machlokas amoraim. Chad asar v'chad shari. One of them says asar, one says mutar. V'ilchse command the asar, and the sheet is like the halach is like the sheet that says that it's asar, because only if you put it into a kiln, into the actual kifshan, and the fire burns the kankanim from the outside to the point that the sealant on the inside starts to peel, so you know that the heat went through and through, because the heat started on the outside of the kli and it got to the point that the inside sealant was peeling, so then you know that it's fully kashered. But if you make a fire on the inside and the sealant starts to peel, well, how do you know that the heat went all the way through and really kashered the kli? So that would not be good enough. That's how Rashi explains the shita that we seem to paskin like, that it's aser. The Tosfos writes that according to this, let's say you know that it was hot enough, that any sealant on the outside would have peeled as well from the heat that's generated from the inside, good, then it's perfectly fine. So Yibayiluhu, they raise the following shayla. Ma'u litin l'tocho sheicha. Can you put into a kli that you got from Rabbi Chaim, can you put beer into it? Is it mutter because it's mevatel the tam of the yayin, or are they gozer that you might put yayin into it? You might confuse a beer kli for a wine kli, and you'll come to put wine into a kli that used to hold wine of Ovdei Kochavim. So Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda, Asri, Rav Asher, Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda both say it's aser, that we're afraid that people are going to make a mistake and they'll use it for wine, and Rav says it's mutter. Ravina shorted that Rav Chiya b'Rav Yitzchak lemir b'beishichra. Ravina allowed Rav Chiya b'Rav Yitzchak to put beer into kelim of Ovdei Kochavim. Azul Rav b'beichamra, and he made a mistake and he accidentally used it for wine. Exactly what some were concerned about, what Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda were concerned about. That you tell the guy he could use it for his beer, he might put wine in, and this is exactly what happened. And nevertheless, Ravina was not worried that we need to make a gzeira, that you're not allowed to use it. Amar Krevi Almu, he said, okay, it was a one-time thing. The Rabbanon only make gzeiras on the milsa de shchicha. The fact that it happened once is not enough to make it a milsa de shchicha. A one-time mistake is not enough reason to make any sorts of new gzeiras. So the Gemara tells us, Rav Yisrael bar Bisna, havalei hanu mani de pakusna. Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna had kelim that were made out of galalei bakar, out of excrement, and they had yayin nesach in it, and Rav Yitzchak wanted to be machshir it. So malinu maya, he filled it up with water, and chinu b'shimsha, and he put it out in the sun. Paku, and the kelim broke, they cracked. So amalei Rav Yabba, Rav Yabba said to Rav Yitzchak, asatinu alach esiru du diolam. You've now ruined these kelim forever. Because you did it for no reason whatsoever. You didn't need to put them out in the sun. Yeah, the Rabbanan told us that there's such a way of Hechsher Kalim called Mili V'Iroi. Whoever said anything about putting it in the sun, that you decided on your own, you're going to make this new Chumrah, this extra Chumrah that was totally uncalled for. And therefore, you only have yourself to blame for the fact that those Kalim are now broken. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Ami. Klay Neser, a clay made from certain type of dirt, ein lo taro alamis. It's not possible to be machshir it at all, because the wine that's gets very absorbed in it, and there's no way to ever extract the tam yayin from its walls. My clay neser, what is clay neser? So Rabbi Yisrael, in clay machpores shal tzrit. It's clay made from ground that they dig, salt mines that they use for dyeing clothing somehow. Not sure exactly how that works, but that's what Rashi says, that Srif means alum, and Lashon Hashanah it's baisa, and it's some type of salt that's mined from the karka that somehow they're able to use to dye clothing with. So that's what Ravasi Baravin it said, that Klei Neser are the kelim that are made from that ground, from that dirt that where they mine the salt, which is used for dyeing clothing. To be Parzuk Rofila, a certain non-Jew named Parzuk, who was a very important government official, Onas Hani Kuvi mi Pumbadisa. He stole certain jugs from Pumbadisa, Ramabu Chamra, and he put wine into them. Adrinane Alayu, and then he returned the jugs after some time. So Asu Shailul Rav Yehuda, the people in Pumbadisa got these kelim back, but during in the meantime, it was used by the Soviet Chavim for his wine. So they want to know, is there any way we could kasher these kelim? So Amar Rav Yehuda said, since he didn't intend to leave it there for very long, it's not something that was meant l'kiyum. It's not something that was meant to stay there for a long time, and therefore you could just rinse it out and scrub it well, and that's good enough. There is a machlokas rishonim, what's called davar shemachnisa l'kiyum. How long did he have to intend to leave it there? So the Rav Yaakov quotes a number of rishonim that say 3 days. And they say that's why the kelim need iroy of shloshi yamin if it's machnisa l'kiyum, because that's how long kibolo kachpolto, that's how long it takes to be boleya. However, the Rav Yah himself says that it's a much longer period of time, machnisa l'kiyum. 3 days is a very short amount of time. It doesn't say exactly what it is, but it's a longer amount of time. Amar avavira, hani chatzvi shchime darmai, kelim that are made from red dirt that belong to non-Jews. like you know they have in Sedona. You know, all the ground is like reddish. So red for the kelim are made out of this red dirt, and these kelim belong to non-Jews. Since they're not really balea so much wine, you could just scrub it out with water, and it's going to be mutter. Amrav papi hani patvasa. Clay cheres that belong to Goyim de Bei Michsi that are made from hard ground that are in a place called Bei Michsi, kivin de labali tuva, since they're not balea wine very well, you could just scrub it out with water and it's going to be mutter, and you don't need milui v'irui for three consecutive days. There is a machlokish rishonim whether you could just be meshach sheikh these kelim that you only need to be meshach sheikh. Are kelim that they left, that they kept wine in there, l'kiyum or not? Is it davar machnisa l'kiyum? And nevertheless, it absorbed so little because of the nature of this dirt. It was a raw material that absorbed so little? Or is it no? It's not something that's machnisa l'kiyum at all, and that's why they're allowed to be meshach sheikh. So the Rashba has a girsa where the Gemara says explicitly, the Gemara says, kiven to lo bali tuva. So beferish in the gear so that it's not machnisa l'kiyum. However, the Rush writes, no, this is machnis l'kiyum. The reason you get away with shichshuch over here is because the nature of this material is that it just doesn't absorb very much. Kasi, if you have cups made out of pottery that belong to Obdi Chavim, that is clearly not drinking glasses, so it's not Machnisa L'kiyum. You don't leave things in there for very long. It's just for the duration of the Su'uda. Ravasi Asa. Ravasi requires Milui V'Iroi for 3 days. Ravashi Shari, and Ravashi says you could just rinse them out. Yishasi Buhu Obdi Chavim Pam Rishon, and if the non-Jew drank wine the first time, he used Zikuli Avalo Pligidasir. Then everyone agrees that it's going to be Asir, and because the pottery is still soft enough that it's porous enough that it's able to be Balea, the wine, if the very first time it was ever used was when a non-Jew was drinking wine from it. Ki Pligi Pepam Sheni, the whole machlokas is when a Jew used it the first time, then the second time it was used by a non-Jew. So do we assume on its second usage it was able to absorb enough to be problematic? Say Yikadami, others say Pam Rishon Sheni Kulam Lo Pligi Asir. Both the first and the second time everyone says it's Asir. Ki Pligi Pam Shlishi, the whole machlokas is on the third time. Vilsa Pam Rishon Sheni Asir Shlishi Mutter, and we pass in that the first and second time it's going to be Asir, but if the third, it's only on the third usage the non-Jew used it for wine, only then it's going to be Mutter. So Amar Zvid, Hay Money to Kunya, Klei Cheres that belong to Obdi Chavim that are lined with lead on the inside. Chivra v'uchma, if it's white or black, shari, it's mutter, because the lead that lines the cheres is going to prevent it from being balea, any wine. But yiruka, but if it's a greenish color, then asr, mishum de mitzrith, then it's going to be asr because there's a certain type of earth that they get, like we spoke about before, that they mine salt from in order to dye clothing. And and it has a din of and it's balea a lot. It's able to absorb a lot, and it can't be that it's not possible to be makshir such kelim. Yisbu kartufni, and if those kelim have any cracks in them, kulu asiri. Then even if it's white or black, it's going to be asir. It doesn't matter that it's lined with lead. The lead lining is not going to cover the whole thing, so there's going to be opportunity for it to be balea. Darish Maremar said the drasha that kunya bein uchma bein chivra bein uchma bein chivra bein yiruka shari, that a certain kli cheres that's lined with lead, whether it's white, black, or green, doesn't make a difference, so he's going to be mutter. So maishna chamitz bepesach debami nemi Maremar. So ask the Gemara, why is kunya that had wine of novi chavim, why is there any difference in kunya by chamitz bepesach? Where the Shiloh was asked to Maremar, Hani Mani de Kunya, these kelim made that are lined with lead, we asked whether you're allowed to use them on Pesach, or do you have to worry about blios of chametz that are in them, that when you use it on Pesach, the blios of the chametz are going to come out. So Gemara explains, what was the Shiloh? Yeruka loti bailach. If it was green, they never asked the Shiloh. The Mitzafi Ubali, because it's balea a lot. the Asiri. So for sure it's going to be Asir. Kiti by Lachlo Shaila was Chivarivu Kami. The whole Shaila was the white ones and the black ones. So man, we want to know the fact that it's lined with lead, does that help? So Kiyisbu Kartufni Loti by Lach. If there are cracks in it, there's no Shaila Devadi Bali, then for sure it's going to absorb the Asiri. And so it's going to be Asir. Kiti by Lach the Shi'i. The whole Shaila is only if it's smooth, Mai. So he wanted to know what the Alach is. Samalahu. So he said, Anachazinalu. I saw these Kalim. The madyasi that they schwitz on the outside of the kli, they came to madyasi vadi bali. So if they schwitz on the outside of the kli, then for sure they're balei of asiri and miyaser. So my time, well, what's the reason you can't be makshir to use them for Pesach by doing agala? Hatori dal kli cheres shein yosim. They definitely olam that the Torah says that, that when it comes to kli cheres, if it actually absorbs, there is no hagala that's going to get all of the absorption out. The only eitzah is with the kli cheres that it's yishaver. They have to break the entire kli cheres. So maishna miayin asach to darish lunareimar kulu mani to kunya shari. Why is it any different? Why is chametz bepesach any different than yayin nesach? Where mareimar taught his talmidim that all these kli cheres that are lined with lead are going to be mutter when it comes to yayin nesach, and yet by Pesach he says that it's going to be aser v'chitei mechametz daraisa yayin nesach rabbanan. No kol tikun rabbanan ken daraisa tikun. And if you can say chametz bepesach is different than yayin nesach because chametz bepesach is daraisa, yayin nesach is only the rabbanan, but we know that when the Rabbanan made the dinim of Yayin Nesach, they did it with all the chumras, with all the chumras of a din d'oraisa. So it's answers Gemara very simple. Zetash misha b'chamin, zetash misha b'tzonin. The way that chametz kelim are used is they're used for hot things, and therefore there's much greater absorption. The way that a yayin is used is only used cold. So since it's only used cold, there's not going to be very much absorption in something that's only used cold. And that's why we're more makil when it is lined. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, not tomorrow, on Tuesday morning, Be'ez Hashem, we will pick up with Rabbi Akiva Ikla Leginzak. I'll be back giving share BKW on Tuesday and Wednesday. And I'll be away for a few days, actually not giving share Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. I do need a little bit of a vacation. Everyone assumes when I'm in Kaylee, it's like I'm doing swimming first activity and tennis second activity, 7 shiurim a day. So it's I don't have a voice left. I need to sort of recover a little bit. But then Be'ez Hashem, next Monday for the foreseeable future. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day. I'll see you on Tuesday morning.